recording. Got it. And action.
Oh, Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the CCW podcast. I am your host, Kaiser, and I'm here joined with Executive Director Vivian. And we are here to talk about, we're back to talk about vacation again. It's a topic that we've spoken on before. It's, when was it? It was a few months ago for spring break, right? So I want to start off with something with something easy, right? A little icebreaker. When tell me about the last vacation that you went on, Vivian.
My last vacation, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We went to Virginia, mm-hmm. and we hopped on the Blue Ridge Parkway, and we took that all the way to North Carolina, and then we turned around in Georgia and came back home, which was very nice. Different scenery in comparison to Miami,
yeah,
where we have beautiful blue waters, but you know, we got to go hiking in the mountains, and that was very nice.
Florida's very flat.
Yes. So, and you know, we love nature, so that was actually something very nice that we got to do and enjoy with the family.
So outdoors, hiking, all that good stuff. It's always good to get out and leave the city for a while. I'm a city boy, so like the likelihood of me going out to the woods and hiking is very, very low. I think I've done it maybe once in my life.
It's beautiful.
I'm sure it is. I don't doubt that. I'm sure it is, but no time soon. Me, the last time I went out, I'm a city boy. I went to Disney. I love Disney. It's my thing. Expensive, but a lot of fun. So
the happiest place on earth, they claim. So
yeah,
you gotta pay for that.
Yeah, true. Okay, so now that we're kind of in the, you know, on topic, right? We're gonna be talking about vacation safety, right? But this time it's a little different because it's the summertime. We have all the kids are out of school. Mm-hmm. Summertime just started for Dade County a week ago, so you know, people are gonna be traveling a lot more. There's gonna be a lot more movement to other areas, and then with a lot of the restrictions kind of lifting with the pandemic and things like that, it's always important to remember like the things you have to do while you're out on vacation, right?
Yes. So we have put together a little checklist which I could send to you if you want to share.
Yes.
Them, and it's a vacation home security checklist, but it's something that we need to apply to our everyday life, right? So that way when we go on vacation, it's something quick that we could just double check and go on our way. But clearly, we have to make sure that all our doors and windows are locked, right? So we want to walk around the house and make sure that everything is locked. I think that was the very first one
here. And like she mentioned earlier, all this will be linked below. We will have like a chart that we will have to share with everybody. And while we're having the show and while we're talking about these things, we'll kind of have like a bit of a question of the video or question of the day. What is your vacation safety checklist, right? Let us know below. We want to be able to have this conversation with you guys so that we can compare and contrast everybody's lists and learn from one another. Exactly. It's important to share ideas, because as a community, it's Citizens Crime Watch, and it's all about the community working together to have a safer, you know, live safely, right? And even when we're away from home. So just as you said, for the very first tip, the easiest thing, make sure your doors are locked. Make sure you double check, triple check. If you feel like you forgot, go back and check anyway, because it's important. You know, you don't want to go out and find out that your doors were open the entire time. Like, terrible feeling, you know?
Yes, I know that I have been driving away from my home and looked in the rearview mirror and my garage door has been unlocked. So I have to drive back around and make sure like I close that. So guilty. As charged, right?
Happens to the best of us.
That's another thing, and I'm sorry that I'm getting a little bit off the order of our list, but
it's okay.
That's another thing, right? We want to also make sure that the garage is not only closed, but that the door adjacent to our home is locked,
right? Yes.
We recommend that door would be a solid wood door, right? And that it has the bolt. Did I say that correctly?
Double locked? Deadbolt. Deadbolt. That's what it is. Yes. Yeah. No, it's okay. I forget what it is too. Yeah. No problem. But yeah, deadbolt. And
because that would like secure the home,
yes,
the entryway a lot better. So we want to make sure that that's also locked. And also the garage doors and stuff on the tracking system that they have, you could also lock that as well.
Yeah.
Just to reinforce the belongings that you have in your garage, whether it's a car or bicycles or whatnot, and also the door adjacent to your home.
And speaking of locks, actually, to piggyback off of that, you know, one thing that is super important, and it is on this list. The list isn't in any particular order. It's kind of just things to remember. But one thing that we do mention here is that not only the use of locks, but keeping in mind that don't use the same lock for everything, right? You don't want like a master. You don't want to buy the same lock for every single door and have one key that opens everything, because then it's just easier for whoever finds that key or picks it to.
Right? Yeah, because it is kind of convenient to have one key that would unlock everything around it. It's not always the safest route.
Exactly.
So yes, that's
like I know, for example, a lot of people out there, it's or at least myself included, at my mother's house, we have a code lock and then we have a separate lock for a key on the bottom lock of the door. So it's really dependent from person to person type of preference. You can do your research. One thing that we'll stress throughout this entire conversation is doing your research for what best suits you, right? Maybe a code lock may be too expensive for somebody, but you could go to the hardware store and change the top lock on your door, so it's different from the bottom. And then same thing with the gates, the garage, back doors, whatever it is, right?
And for me, so when I changed, I did change to the code. And when I did that, I kept the original one that I had.
Yes.
And I have like double also as well.
Exactly.
And, you know, just those things require battery in case the battery goes dead underneath the cold pad. It has a key mechanism that you could use. So all that is to keep in mind. Definitely, yes, like he says, you have to do your research and find something that's going to work for you and for your family as well. So if you have little ones that are coming home from school and they know the cold, maybe that's like an easy way for them. Mm-hmm. But again, if you go on vacation, you want to take that extra mile and like reinforce your doors as best as you can.
And to add to that, we can move to the next step, which is actually spare keys, right? So having a spare key, being smart about where you put your spare keys and how you go about distributing those keys, right? You obviously, everybody in the immediate family, anybody that lives there should have a key. But you, if you're going to be away on vacation, you obviously don't want to leave your key in an obvious spot. You would like something like underneath a doormat, right? Like
or
a planter. Yes. That's way too common. It's easy for somebody to just check and take that key. If you live in like I know I live in an apartment complex, so I usually have either my landlord or building manager that has a key, or if you have an extra key, you leave it to your neighbor. You know, you have them, hey, like, can you hold on to this? Look over the place.
So often, to elaborate on that, we do want to hide, right, a spare key, because we don't want to call a locksmith. Those things could get expensive, especially if you're getting home late at night, right?
Yeah, very. They have after-hour fees.
After-hour fees could get pricey. And then you think, okay, I don't want to give it to my neighbor or bother my neighbor late at night. So we tend to have a spare key hidden somewhere.
Exactly.
If you're going to go on vacation, though, please retrieve the key from your hiding spot, whichever that spot is. And I use it. I give my key to my neighbor for in case of any emergency or anything like that. A neighbor that you trust, obviously, right? You want to have a good relationship with your neighbors always. It's part of what we preach when we do our crime watch meeting.
Yes.
So have that trusted neighbor. For me, is my Chichi, my 90-year-old neighbor. She still goes out there and gets my mail, and she has a key to my house, and I have a key to her house. So have that. Make sure you retrieve your key, your spare key, for in case of emergency, and do not leave it while you're on vacation.
Right. And really quick plug, she did say Crime Watch meetings. If you want to set up a Crime Watch meeting, what is the website exactly? I can't remember it off the top of my head.
www.citizenscrimewatch.org, or you could call the office 305-470-1670.
There you go.
It's something that we highly recommend. Not only do you get to develop a good relationship with your neighbors, but you develop a relationship with your neighborhood resource officer. And another thing, thank you, because now it's bringing something else to mind that I don't have here. When you do that, you could also go ahead and request a wash order for your home for when you go on vacation.
That's right.
And use your phone chain, which we encourage to have that contact information for your neighbors so that your neighbors know that you're going to be out of town to keep an eye out for your home. So crime watch comes handy.
There you go. Set up that crime watch meeting. Get your community involved. It's always good to have everybody involved in that sense of you know, just being safe, right? Everybody looking after each other's backs and whatnot. So next, we have a whole section dedicated to like glass doors and sliding doors, right?
Yes. So for sliding doors, if you have a balcony, you probably have a sliding door, or in your home, you want to go ahead and install simple things, right? So simple as the pin that you install to prevent your door from being slid open or lifted off the track.
Yes.
Or we have the bars that you put underneath. There's several options for that. This is another thing that we encourage you guys to do your research and see what's going to work best for you and your family. I know sometimes the pins are installed up high. Maybe if you have younger kids, you want, and there's an emergency and you want to have that exit point, you might want to have the bars are like a little lower. Bit lower.
Or the so ones again, that go on the floor.
It depends on your situation, what emergency plans you have for your family in case. Definitely something to consider on a case-by-case basis. On that note, for the windows too, I know there's little locks that you put on the tracks of the window and you screw that in tightly to prevent the windows from being able to be slide up and open. So there's inexpensive.
Yes.
And you could just install it super easy, super quick. Anybody could do it, and just another way to secure your home.
Yes. And we're going to repeat this, guys. It's all about doing your research and making sure you do what fits you, right? Not every windows are the same. Not everybody's windows are the same size, and not everybody has the same budget either, which is okay, but it's always good to invest in safety in your home. Taking that extra step, that extra layer of protection, especially when you're out on the town and you're not home. Right? Yes, the little things will help.
And you want to have peace of mind to be able to enjoy your vacation.
100%.
You're away and you're constantly thinking about, did I lock my doors? But you have your little checklist and you go around and you know that you did everything in your power to leave your house as safe as you could. Then you get to enjoy your vacation and yourself a lot more. So that's always good to know.
Yes. So next we have motion detector systems, right? Motion detector systems and lights. So we can kind of do those at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. So if you have an alarm, they often come with motion detection and stuff like that. If you have an alarm also that gets monitored, you want to make sure that they have your contact information up to date.
Yes.
And always make sure that if you change phone numbers and stuff like that, you contact them right away and you give them that additional information. You also want to notify them that you're going to be away on vacation.
Yes.
Sometimes that helps in them contacting law enforcement faster. You know, they know it might not be a false alarm because you're not home or whatnot, and they could go ahead and move on with those process. And lighting, we could... Here, I have several
several points about lighting.
But let's sum it up and let's try to cover them, right, as much as we can in one. You need to have good lighting all throughout the outside of your home, right? You don't want to have those dark spots, but especially for your entry points.
Yes.
So good lighting is recommended. You have motion lights. You also have lights that get turned on at a certain time. Big lights like outside. Mm-hmm. Again, up to you, up to your budget and what might work for you and for your home. And you do want to position them by your entry points and you know, in those dark spots of your home. It's very easy. Step outside, not when the sun is setting, but yeah, when it's like pitch dark black outside.
And you can see.
And you yourself would look at your home and you would kind of be able to tell, like, okay, this area, it's very dark, because you don't want anybody to be hiding in those
dark spots. Right. And which, to add to lighting too, not just outdoors, but indoors too, it's important to remember that, just as important as the lighting outside is, it's important to have the lighting indoors. Even though you're not going to be home, one of the easiest tells for somebody to see that you're not home is that the lights are off all the time, right?
The house is pitch black inside, yeah.
You don't want that. You want to have your lights on a timer, or you can have them, you know, you can have them remote controlled through the internet. There's different types of systems that are out there. I personally recently installed some LED lights that work over the internet. So if I'm away, I can just turn them on manually and turn them off when I want to. But if you want that peace of mind and you don't want to have to remember all the time, you can get different lights that go on a timer, you know, certain times of the day it'll turn off and then turn on, so on and so forth.
So the timer is really an expensive option.
Yeah.
We recommend to at least have two.
Mm-hmm.
Just in different sections of your home.
Yes.
To turn on at night and back off during the day. Not only do you save power, but again, it gives that sense of somebody being home. And that's one of the most inexpensive items, right, to be able to buy. I know that people have it set up like you, that you could do it through an app and be able to do that. But if the internet fails or you don't have phone service, something like that, this is just something that's very inexpensive.
Yes.
Anybody could do it. Abuelita, abuelito, your grandparents could do it, right? Because it's just like a little plug and you turn the timer on to the time that you want. And that is it. There's nothing techy about it. It's very easy to do. So
yes,
that's our most like easy to do, inexpensive option that we want to go ahead and recommend or suggest, right?
Yes.
Again, whatever works for you guys.
Which I just thought of one as we were speaking. Another one that a lot of people don't realize, or a lot of people aren't always comfortable doing, but I know whenever I leave, I have pets at home, right? So I usually ask someone, I have younger brothers that, like I have one that's in college. So I usually ask him to stay at my apartment for me while I'm out, if I'm out for a few days or a week or whatever.
Get a house sitter.
If you have somebody that you trust to be in your home for an extended period of time, somebody to look over your pets, you know, things like that, it can be really convenient, because then all that stuff just happens automatically, right? Mm-hmm. You just have somebody there the entire time. So you may not even need to worry about some of these things. I'm not saying that they don't apply. They definitely do. And it's still things that you should think about.
Yes.
But having somebody there is always one of the best options if you're comfortable with it.
Yes, so, of course. Again, good option. A family member that could just go over and stay. It's definitely a good option. You know this, but they don't have a zoo at home.
Mm-hmm.
I travel with my dog, but I have tons of other animals that I have at home. So I do have like somebody that goes and to take care of my pets, but they don't necessarily stay. They go a couple of times like a day. But again, it shows that there's somebody,
yes,
in the house, right? But you do want to take proper steps to make sure your home is secure in regards to all that.
So next we have, talking about mail and what is it? Deliveries, packages and things like that.
Let's sum it up.
Don't order something on Amazon if you're not going to be there. If you're going to be gone the 15th, don't have something arrive on the 15th. Why? You're not going to be there.
Exactly.
Right?
That's a good option. But then you have some subscriptions. I know,
yeah,
myself, right? I personally have a subscription for meal preps that get, mm-hmm, delivered to my house weekly. And guilty again, I might forget to put a stop to those deliveries.
Right.
Not stop them, but
pause
them.
Yes.
And there's a lot of different subscriptions out there that we might be associated with. So make sure you go ahead and you contact them and put like a post on all that. You could also do the same thing for your mail. However, your neighbors, can I say this again?
Neighbors.
Best friend when it comes, mm-hmm, to things like this, like picking the mail. Nothing says that you're not home, like a mailbox full of mail, right? And packages in your front door. Not only do people go around driving and stealing packages on a regular basis, whether you're at work or not, imagine if you're on vacation. So you do wanna make sure you're not gonna have any deliveries coming to your home, but having that neighbor picking up the mail for you,
yes,
is always something that we go ahead and we recommend for all of you. It's they're out there picking up their own mail. They could just open up your mailbox and get the mail for you. It's not, don't think that you're asking them to do too much, right? They're willing to do those things because first, like, you will do it for them.
Exactly. It's all about looking after each other, right? We're all part of you're part of that community. So you'd want everybody to feel safe, you know? So 100%. Another option is also a P.O. box, right? A lot of people forget that you can still get a P.O. box. You can have your mail. You can have packages that are sent to a P.O. box instead of your home address. That way they go directly to the mail office or wherever it is, the post office, wherever it is that it would go. And then you would just pick it up after your trip, right?
Yes.
So peace of mind. That's really what it's all about. Peace of mind and awareness so you can keep your, not only yourself safe, but your belongings.
Yes, absolutely. The same thing. Here we go again. Please let your neighbors know that you're going to go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
They will know that car doesn't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
That is a suspicious activity, which we teach you again through a crime watch meeting, and they could keep an eye out for your property, right? There's no reason why there's a moving truck moving you out if you're on vacation.
Exactly. that'd be so odd.
Yeah. So make sure that you have that communication with your neighbors. And again, if they see something odd, they're going to be calling you whether you're on vacation or not and being like, hey, baby, you know, I saw X, Y, and Z. I get a call. Hey, your mom is here. Like, you know,
yeah.
It's everything okay. You know, just again, looking out for one another. Nowadays, it's very important to have a sense of community.
Yes, very, very important.
And rely on one another. And I don't think that we do that enough.
So we don't.
let's go back to basics and let's go back to, like, I know technology is available. We have it in the palm of our hands, but let's go back to basics and let's rely on one another a little bit more.
Yes, 100%. So the next thing, valuables and inventory, right? So keeping track of the things you have in your home, anything that costs a lot of money, anything that you know that a burglar might want to get to, something important, whether it's like social security cards or extra cash that you have laying around, right? You mentioned something earlier, or you mentioned something a while ago, to think like a burglar, right?
Yes, you have to. So if I'm breaking into your home, the first place that I might go is the master bedroom.
Yes.
Right? Because what am I going to find there? Maybe earrings, some rings, some valuables, some cash, like things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you want to make sure to go ahead and hide your valuables somewhere unexpected.
Yes.
Right? Somewhere where you normally wouldn't put your valuables at. I know that, for example, some people have safe deposit boxes at a bank for important documents, passport, things like that, right? It's important. In case of a fire, anything, you want to have that place that's kind of like safe to store valuable items, but also important documents. But if that's not the case and you don't have that option, then make sure you put them somewhere unexpected.
Yes.
Don't put them in your office. Don't put them in your master bedroom. And then when it comes to the inventory, if you have a tally of your valuables, your electronics, your TVs, keep it in your computer. That way it's stored in the cloud somewhere, hopefully, right? Or email it to yourself, whatever works. Take a picture of that TV, write down the serial number, write down a quick description of like what it is. If you have renter's insurance, I know you live in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You want to use those things for
your
name, right? You want to know a serial number. You want to know what you paid for that TV. TVs are expensive. Gaming consoles are expensive. You know, all those items. You want to have the value, the serial number, and the description. I recommend also taking a picture. Keep that up to date. If that TV broke, take it off your inventory. If you replace it with a new TV, put that new serial number and the value in it. But also for your police report, lo and behold, you don't want to be a victim. But if you are, they're going to need that information. And You know, if they find somebody selling a TV and they have that serial number that belongs to you, you might get lucky enough.
Yeah.
Lucky, right? That's the word.
You never know, though. Happen,
but there's a possibility that that item could be returned to you. But again, it's important to have for police reports, for insurance purposes. So keep an inventory of all those valuable things.
Of course. And an easy way to do that, too, is like if you're a person who orders on Amazon a lot, or if you keep. She's laughing because she knows she does.
Because I just told Nicole, our beautiful producer here, in the office with us, that I'm the Amazon expert.
She is the Amazon expert. So for our Amazon expert and people like our Amazon expert, one thing you can do is that you can keep all the records of, like, you can take screenshots of whatever it is that you're ordering, or you can download the file, the PDFs, like straight off the site, and have like a file on your computer that you can call it, you know, inventory. And then you don't even have to like organize them, because they'll be automatically organized by date. And you just throw them in there as you're ordering things and whatever it is. And same thing with receipts too. If you have, I know I keep all my receipts because of taxes, but you know, you can also use it.
Yes. When the ink fades away. So you either want to scan it.
Exactly.
You want to make a copy, because again, sometimes we go and look for the receipt and the ink is all faded out and we can't really make what the receipt says.
Now, we touched on this a little bit before, but outdoor security, right? The thing we talked about, lighting, we talk about getting motion sensor lighting. But other things we want to touch on is like shrubbery and grass and things like that. You know a lot more about that.
So your bushes and your shrubs, you want to keep them trimmed. You want to cut them down to 3 feet to avoid somebody from hiding behind them, unless mm-hmm. they're going to be laying down.
Yeah.
You never know. Again, we give crime prevention tips as to discourage external behaviors, but where there's a will, there's a way. So always keep those fighting senses like up, and if something doesn't feel right, act on that. But we recommend cutting them down to 3 feet and up above 6, right? To make sure that nobody is hiding or using vegetation as an ambush point for your home, right? When you're going inside your house, you don't want anybody hiding behind a bush. You want to keep that all trim and nice. Also, it serves as your neighbors being able to keep an eye out for your house. If you have bushes and everything, I get it, guys. We want privacy.
Yeah.
I get it.
No, you're right.
Listen, we want privacy. And we don't want somebody looking at a front door, maybe, right? But what that also does is creating that ambush point that somebody could, hopefully not, but somebody could attack you while you're trying to get inside your home. Vice versa, if we have those bushes or those pretty hedges that are too high, again, offering privacy, and yes, they're beautiful, but your neighbor now won't be able to tell that there's an individual trying to break into your house.
Exactly.
And they're actively picking on your door to break into your house. So pick your battles.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
privacy, keep those things
safety,
in mind.
You have to, you know, keep all that, like, in mind. Again, this is just recommendations, suggestions. You do what works best for you. I'm going to choose security.
Yes.
Over privacy.
Me too.
That's just, you know, again, but I have to, I can't preach and then not do it. So you want to make sure that everything is nice and trim, that the grass is cut. If you're going to go away for an extended period of time, a friend, a landlord, anybody could just come by and cut your grass, because that's also a sign that the house, not that it's abandoned, but that
nobody's
there for a little bit, and that they have an opportunity to go into your home. So you want to keep that grass cut. You want to keep everything nice and trim. Again, lighting, I cannot say it enough. Lighting is very important. And then you want to go around your yard, make sure you have locks in your gates. Any valuables, not more anything, put it in a shed if you have one, inside your grass, your home, whatever the case might be. Your bicycles, put them inside. Use a U-bar for your bike to lock it so that they don't steal it.
Yes.
Luke said, hey, I have a bike. I'm just going to put it inside my house. I'm not home.
Yeah.
When I get back home, I take it back out. But you gotta, you know, you want, bikes could be expensive.
They can be very expensive. So it would suck to come home and your bike is gone.
Yes. If you have a bike just to ride around a little bit, that's okay. But if you're one of those people like my husband that uses as a form of like exercise, you know, and the lighter, the better, they start getting very, very pricey. So you want to just secure all your belongings.
Yes.
So don't just go around your yard, your patio, balcony, whatever it might be, and just secure anything that's of value to you.
And same thing with cars too, right? Like if you have, and again, we're talking about vacations here too. If you're out on vacation and you have like shoes, valuables, a backpack, purse, a laptop, whatever, you don't want to keep it in your car, you know? Or if you are going to keep it in your car for whatever reason, put it in the trunk where it's not easily visible. You do not want to make your car a target. That's the same for when you're out and for when you're at home too, right?
Yes.
If you're at home and you in most families have multiple cars. One of the cars is probably going to stay home. Don't leave anything important in it because somebody can break in and take it.
Right? Exactly. So I know that different law enforcement have different campaigns, but one of them, or my favorite one, is Lock It or Lose It. Right. But with that said, you want to make sure that your car is locked. But guess what? They could break the window.
Yeah.
So you don't want to leave anything visible or anything of value in the car, period. Right.
Yeah.
So the same way that you go ahead and you grab your purse, make sure even cables. Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have your charging cables or multiple cables and they're going to think, oh, this person has an iPhone, maybe an iPad, or maybe
just laying around.
They have multiple cables. Maybe they brought the cell phone down, but maybe they left like something out. Like you gotta think of, again, of everything, right?
Yeah.
And just go around for that vehicle that's staying behind. Yes. But also, again, everyday practice. Just make sure that you have nothing valuable in your car.
It seems petty, but I've seen people breaking, like I've had people breaking the cars just for a charger. Like I've seen that. It sounds ridiculous, but you really don't want to be a target. So you want to be of your wits. You want to have those things in mind so you're safe. It's all about our safety. It's all about being aware, right? That's the biggest thing we push.
You have a road trip.
Yeah.
Which that's kind of what I did. And now we're talking on vacation. I know I take my laptop with me always because I have to work whether I'm on vacation or not. And so I also make sure that I don't even pack a purse really when I'm on the road like that. Mm-hmm. I just put everything in a backpack and I bring my backpack. It has my wallet. It has the phones, the laptop. I bring it out at any rest stop, whatever it is. But also make sure that when you're on a road trip, if you're doing one, I know it's popular for parents, right, to do road trip with kids to visit like the family, because sometimes flying gets expensive when you have a large family. You don't want to leave like some value, even a suitcase. You know, people might think, oh, it's just clothes, but maybe not. And they might want to take like advantage or that way. Just make sure that you don't leave anything behind in your vehicle.
Right.
What else? So, did we cover anything?
I think that covers everything. We got a pretty good overview of everything.
But again, let us know, like you said.
Yes.
What we do
in the comments. Yes. Vacation safety. We call it the vacation home security checklist, right?
Yes.
So let us know your checklist in the comments. Let us know what you guys think on social media, in the YouTube comments, wherever. Let us know what you would do in this situation, what your checklist looks like. You know, make one, take a screenshot of it, share it with us so we can retweet it. We can like the pictures, you know. We actually have a very good opportunity here to talk about this program that we have going on. We have two separate programs. Vivi, you can talk about the first one with the Miami-Dade Police.
So a couple of years ago, there was a partnership between Miami-Dade Police Department, Citizens Front, which is our organization, and RAIN, which was kind enough to work with some police departments. And the way the program works is that if you're a victim of a property crime or a vehicle that you have parked in your driveway, you call the police to report it. And then you could go ahead and do a home security survey, which we highly recommend.
Yes.
No matter what, right?
Yes, we do.
Because it will showcase those vulnerable spots like in your home and those places that need a little bit of improvement to make them more secure. So that's always an option. And then you come to our office, in which we get to talk to you about the neighborhood watch. Again, it's all about keeping you guys safe. And you walk out of our office with a Ring doorbell camera. Now, yes, that's what we have going on as a partnership with
Miami-Dade Police Department.
Now, separate from that.
Now, we have actually, separate from that, is we actually have a giveaway, right? Yes. Exclusive to this podcast, right? So for this podcast, what we're going to be doing is, since we want everybody to, obviously, we want you to stick around and watch the podcast, and we want you to interact with it. So a little incentive that we have going on is, first of all, we have a couple things we need you to do. We're going to be giving away three of these Ring video doorbells, right? Video doorbells, doorbells too. So I'm assuming it's the newest version. And these doorbells are a camera, a doorbell, and it can also act as like a little security camera, right, for the front of your house, essentially. I know my mother had one, and you could see literally like the entire block, because our home sits in the middle of the block.
Yeah.
So you can see the block, and then you can see the block in front of us, everything. It has different settings, right?
So if you make it like that, then you're going to get a lot more notices on your phone. And again, that comes with the settings.
Exactly. So the idea for this giveaway is we actually... And I thought about it as we were speaking, is we want you guys to show us your vacation home security checklist. So if you tag us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, or even in the YouTube comments, and you post your vacation home security checklist with hashtag CCW podcast, you can win one of three Ring video doorbells, right? Easy. All you got to do is follow us, watch this video, and tag us with your checklist. And that's it. You can get one for free. It'll be a raffle. So that way, anybody who's participating can get the opportunity to win one. It's just a little incentive for our viewers and our listeners out there to kind of interact with us, to for them to get, you know, something nice. This is something, this is, yes, it's for free, completely for free. Yes. There's no paying for anything. And we will find whatever is the best way to send it to you, whether you pick it up here or we ship it to you. Well, all that will get figured out. But again, the rules for this is to post your vacation home security checklist and follow us. Follow us on social media, whether that's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube.
So for the camera, you do need to have Wi-Fi in
your
home. Let's make sure we say that.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
So please, the way it works is through Wi-Fi. You have to make sure you have Wi-Fi mm-hmm. in your home. Like I said, the settings are amazing. You kind of like custom that to, again, your needs. Easy to install. You just remove the battery, charge it, put it back in. Not only do you get a video again of the notices of people driving in front of your house or approaching your door, it is also a doorbell. Through the Ring app, you also get the neighbors app, where the neighbors share what's going on in the area. Again, you set up the miles from your home that you want those notices.
Yes.
And it's pretty great. And if you use the cloud services, then some of those videos get stored for you.
Yes.
But I went without it. I have had a doorbell camera at home for a long time. And for a long time, I didn't do the cloud. Yeah. And then
it's not mandatory. It's you can not, still use it.
It's not. And then as my son was getting a little bit older, I just wanted to go ahead and put the cloud there, you know, just because I'm working more hours, he's home with that, and I just, and you can interact.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm home, I'm here at the office, and he will ring the bell just so that I could answer and we could like talk to that. I see him, he doesn't see me, but he hears me.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a game for us. So it's a really good product, and it's also a way to stay safe. Like you mentioned, it's also a camera.
Again, one last time, it is completely free. All you have to do is post your checklist, subscribe, and follow. That's it. That's all it is. Post the checklist with the hashtag CCW podcast. This podcast, as you guys know, will be available on YouTube, Spotify, and now we're on Apple now. We're finally on Apple. Apple podcast. Apple has been giving me a hard time with these podcasts. We finally got them up. So for anybody who hasn't seen our previous episodes, we have all 10 of our previous episodes posted on Apple right now. So if you want to go back and you're an Apple user, go back, listen to them, you know, and just kind of stay up to date with what we have going on here. We we will have more opportunities for giveaways like this. So please, please, please share, like, comment, subscribe this video to anybody who you think may need to know, anybody who may benefit from something like this, and the tips that we mentioned below, right?
Yeah, and go back and check out our other podcasts. You might find some useful information there. And if you have any suggestions or any topics that you would like for us to cover, let us know.
That's right. And with that, this has been the CCW Podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you.